It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
You know what? I didn't miss you this time.
No, I imagine you didn't.
But I did miss recording our podcast.
You mean like literally we didn't record it?
Yeah, like I went a big chunk of time without doing a podcast. My brain is now trained, for better or for worse, to filter every experience I have with, is this something to talk about on the podcast? What am I going to say on the podcast about it? And it's weird to be like, well, by the time you talk about it, it's probably going to be old news. So
yeah,
who knows? Or just have, so, like, I have such a ridiculous list of stuff to talk about this time. I don't know that I'm going to get to any of it. Because all the other stuff, so it's crazy. Should we open up with presents?
I guess. What do you mean presents?
I got presents. I got a present for you from Hawaii, and a present for one generally unnamed listener of the podcast. And if you think it's, if you're not sure if it's you, it's probably not you. Actually, it's easy. If I haven't been to your mother's funeral, it's not you. So that should narrow it down. And I got these gifts, and I'm going to show them on air because in the case of you and this other listener, I am waiting on both of you to tell me the next time we're going to get together for breakfast or lunch, respectively.
Right.
So I'm hoping this will incentivize, even though they are not very good gifts. I should say they are kind of touristy, but I did pick them out specifically for each of you.
Mm.
And not just generic. Yours might make a little more sense. We'll have to see. All right. For this process, because there will be reading involved, I have to unmirror my video so that you can read them. All right. What's funny is the other person, I think, generally just listens to audio. So I'm tempted to not even, like, say anything about what it is so that then they feel like on YouTube. Anyway, are you ready? Are you ready for yours?
Sure.
All right. Close your eyes.
Close my eyes. Okay.
I want to position it properly. Everything.
Right. Eyes closed.
Get in the shot.
Cannot see.
All right. Hold on. I'm lining it up. All right. I'm
covering my eyes, really.
All right. Wow. We're ready. Go.
Oh, what's it say?
Hawaii.
Oh. Why is it a chicken? Yeah.
Well, this is the thing, and this is important to know in general. If there's one thing to know about Kauai, it's that it is absolutely infested with feral chickens.
Feral chickens.
Well, wild chickens, you might say. Chickens got introduced to the Hawaiian Islands at some point, maybe from the Polynesians. Definitely when all the white people showed up with their ships, they had chickens. And so there's sort of a wild chicken population on a lot of the islands.
Hmm.
But on Kauai, something interesting happened 20 some odd years ago. Because this was the case before we went last time. And that's something interesting was Hurricane Iniki.
Oh.
And among wiping out so much on the island, it also destroyed all the domesticated chicken coops that people had on their farms and in their backyards. And those chickens just took off for the hills and made it with all the wild chickens.
Mm.
And now there are so many chickens. And I put it this way. We had a tour, like a printed tour book for Kauai 20 years ago. And in it, it said there is some discussion of trying to get like a legal hunting season for chickens on the island. In the meantime, if you hit one with your car, probably no one will care. Except it's in the book, the official printed, buy it in a bookstore tour book. It appears that nothing has been done about it for the 20 years. The chickens are everywhere.
Okay. So, I mean, people eat chickens on that island.
Apparently the wild ones are not that tasty.
So if a restaurant's going to serve chicken, it's not going to be a local.
No, but the restaurant may have a sign that says, don't feed the chickens, because there may be chickens in the restaurant, as happened several times. They just wander around. You got to remember, there's not a lot of indoors in Hawaii because it's very warm and humid, and you mostly rely on cooling off by breezes and stuff. So a lot of places they're covered and stuff, but they're sort of out, like the doors are open and things like that. And they got chickens just hanging out in the restaurant. And in some cases, they say don't feed them. In other cases, they freaking name them. We went to one place, and that chicken was named Susan. Just hangs out, just lives there. Eat stuff. There's chickens everywhere.
What about the eggs? Can you eat the wild chicken eggs? Are they okay?
Oh, no, I never encountered the wild chicken eggs. Oh. I saw some chicklings. You saw the pictures. You are on my list of all my Hawaii. Do you not remember how many chickens there were?
There's a lot of chickens.
I didn't even send you the big, including chickens in the restaurant with the sign that said, don't feed the chickens.
Oh, you had a picture of that? I don't remember that.
I feel like you didn't look at any of...
No, I looked at them.
You were also one of the few people who didn't send me a text about Trish's missing phone in case I missed the text about Trish's missing phone, which I find very sweet and very confusing. I'm like, well, I didn't see their text, but I saw your text.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so yes. So chicken crossing, very common. I actually have a fridge magnet with this exact thing on it. And that's the thing. It's not generic Hawaii. This is specifically Kauai. And that's why I like it.
I love it. I love the color of it. That's a beautiful color.
You know, kind of thing.
Yep. I love it. Thank you.
So that to nice that thing. End, for the other person who shall remain nameless.
It's also a beautiful color.
Kauai fighting chickens. Losers in every bucket. Now, to my knowledge, they do not do chicken fights. Some of the chickens will fight over things. I bought this in a store that's basically a Hawaiian surf shop merged with a Hot Topic. And so it just had like some edgy bullshit. Mm. And so this was an example. And mostly the other person, I don't think like they're like that. I think they will think it is very funny to wear this shirt in front of other people. confuse them. So they will get that. And you will get the hat once you tell me when.
Okay. Punk. Thank you. It's like I was saying, I love the color of it even. It's a nice, it's beautiful blue color.
It's sort of a denim-y. I think it might be denim. Yeah, I think it's sort of denim. No, it was funny, actually. We saw it, and Trish was like, you get that. And I'm like, I don't wear caps. And then I was like, oh, I know who wears caps.
I do. Caps. And I will wear it. Right. I can guarantee. Right. I will wear it.
And it's adjustable, but, like, not with plastic. Like, it's got just a little strap made out of the same material. Yeah. And at first it seemed way too small, but it, like, had hidden some of it. And I was able to expand it enough it could fit on my head. So I assume it'll fit on your head.
I'm sure it will.
I got big head.
I love it. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world where we still don't got emails, so you're probably just going to listen to me talk about my Hawaiian vacation for an hour. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 688.
I might let William talk, too. I don't know.
I don't really have anything to talk about, so go right ahead. I want to hear all about it.
Hear my video.
I want to hear all about it.
Freaks me out. So for those of you just joining us, every week I go on a Hawaiian vacation and I talk about it. No, we have a hat, not the hat you saw, a different hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People sometimes email that email address, that hat, as it were, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with things they want us to talk about, or things they want us to know, or questions they want to ask, or whatevs. And the hat, magically, all on its own, forwards the email to us. We read them, talk about them till we're bored, and that's what the show is intended as. Seldom is. And it's not always the fault of not having emails. But this time it is. So here we are, Peter's Donuts. Yeah, so in case it wasn't clear before, my wife and I honeymooned on the island of Kauai, an island that I spent summers on, or parts of summers on, as a child, because my grandparents had more money than sense, and they had a timeshare on the island, and they never used it, so we used it every year, because back then it didn't cost as much to go there, and we would bring food with us, so it wasn't as expensive. But so my wife and I went there for our honeymoon, and this was our 20th anniversary, so we decided to go back. We could not go back to the little cottage we had rented on a farm, because that farm, it's not... Stuff changes in 20 years.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. This was a very different experience in a lot of ways. One of the biggest ones being we had disposable income, which is good because Hawaii is freaking expensive.
Oh, it is?
I'm guessing short of the San Francisco area, it's the most expensive place to live.
In the US,
which I didn't know that. Not great, because there is such wealth disparity there. So essentially via mostly, you know, tourism and luxury real estate development and stuff, you basically have a lot of very wealthy people and or tourists, and then a whole lot of people just barely scraping by. Because imagine gentrification, but you couldn't really go anywhere, partially because it's literally the only place that your culture and your ancestral people have. Like, there's no, like, little Hawaii in Chicago or something. But also because it's a lot harder to move when you have to cross the Pacific Ocean to do it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but there is more involved when you're not on the continental U.S.
Right.
So, yeah. And it was especially noticeable for us this time, because in the past, we stayed on that farm, which was sort of out in the middle of nowhere. And other times we stayed in a very sort of touristy part of things. This time we rented a house in just a straight up residential neighborhood that was like not particularly well off. Some of the houses were a little nicer, but a lot of them were not. We eventually discovered we were blocks away from the Hawaiian equivalent of project housing. So we were right in the middle of it, and it was just a very different vibe. And I had a great time. I don't know how much I will want to go back, because it just feels weird. It always feels weird. If you ever go to a country who is like a tropical nation whose primary economics are tourism-based, it always feels a little strange. And it feels extra weird where I'm like, but this is just the U.S., and yet these people are still living that way. It's weird. Trish said it was very much like being on a cruise ship, except instead of having this clear demarcation of this is crew and this is guest, we just all lived here. Like, it was just all around. And so you'd be like, wow, look at those amazing luxury condos. Wow, look at those shacks. Like, right, and just... I don't know. I enjoy a lot of it, and there's some really great stuff, and I had a really good time. It feels weird.
Yeah.
It's also a long-ass way to go.
Yeah.
From us here from Iowa, it was, in both cases, a flight 3 to 3.5 hours, and then a flight 6 to 7 hours. And as we all know, I hate flying. But something good happened here that is useful, and I'm passing on this information to the rest of you. We all know airfare is bullshit these days, and they're nickel and diming you everywhere. And it's like, oh, you actually want a back to your chair? That's going to be 30 more bucks. Oh, you want to breathe during? That's going to be $5. Like all of this stuff. We paid the little extra for the next step up, the economy premium. How's that for a phrase?
Wow. What does that mean?
Well, mostly what it means is there's a little extra leg room.
Oh.
Trish looked into this beforehand, and part of it is it comes with us. Like, I think technically we could have had a couple of alcoholic drinks or something. We didn't, but I think that was included. It included a check bag for each of us, which normally you would pay like $50 for or whatever. So that factored in the price. But the big one is, for me, it turned what would have been an excruciating several hours into tolerable because of the extra leg room. That's part of why I hate unplugged, is I have to sort of fold my legs in and I can't move them for hours. It's terrible. And this was like, oh, this is all right. Good. But there was a hidden benefit I did not consider.
What was that?
Well, on the shorter flight, both times we were on a plane that was small enough that our row was just the two of us. So she was in the window and I was in the aisle. On the longer flight, there were three. And she got the aisle, or I got the aisle and she sat in the center. She used to do the thing where, like, we'd get the aisle and the window in the hopes that no one would get the middle. And if they did, we'd just move over and that'd be fine. She didn't bother because she's like, it never works anymore because they only fly them when they're super full or whatever. Except both times, there was nobody else in our row.
Oh.
And at first I was like, wow, we really got lucky. And that is definitely part of it. But I also realized we also paid for it. So people would only get that seat if they were willing to pay extra, which decreases the possibility that somebody's going to take that seat.
Right, right.
And in fact, even on the way out the first time, they called it a full flight and it seemed very full, but not in our row because you had to pay. They won't just be like, well, that's all we have left, so we'll give it to you. No, you have to pay for that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people weren't willing to. So that, I think, increased the chances of us getting that. So that was nice. But it's still, it's like 10 hours of flying and it sucks. Our house was very nice. We went all over the place. We really didn't plan well in that we had like a day that we were just sort of chill at home. I think we went to dinner because there was a place we'd been before that we liked. And then right after that day, we had two really crazy days. And so we exhausted ourselves. And one of those crazy days, we got a dog.
Yeah, I did see that.
Because you can do that on Kauai and on Maui and I think somewhere in Florida or whatever. The Humane Society of the Kauai Humane Society is constantly over full and struggling and all that. And they have a thing where you can take dogs on field trips, they call it. And you have to pay a certain amount. It was like $40. But you can also, on top of that, because it's a donation to them, and they'll even say, like, this much more feeds a dog for a week, this much more, you know, they're sending them to the mainland because they want people to, like, adopt them and then take them home with them. But that costs money and all that. So but for a minimal contribution and then more if you want, you get a dog for several hours. It's, you have to make an appointment to get the dog, and we didn't do it till the night before, so our appointment wasn't till like 11:30 or whatever. And regardless of when your appointment is, your dog's got to be back by 5. So we had Saba for a few hours, which was enough. We fucking wore out. We specifically said we need a lower energy doll. We're not doing a lot of hiking. We're not doing a lot of running on the beach. We need a lower energy dog. And they gave us a lower energy dog, and it still almost killed us.
So you don't own a dog?
No. So we what, like dogs.
But you like dogs, yeah.
And we would have difficulty having a dog. We're not really set up for it, and also we're not willing to take on the responsibility of having a dog. But it's the same. We feel about dogs the same way we feel about kids. If there had been an option to rent an orphan child, we might have done that as well. We like them. We don't want to have them all the time.
Yeah.
And so we got Saba. She was a 6-year-old brown hound. And originally, we were going to take her up to Waimea Canyon, which is a gorgeous space. You go up in the mountain, and there's this gorgeous canyon. And we thought that would be a good place. And it wasn't on the recommended list, but we were like, probably fine. So we walk in, they're like, so where were you going to take the dog today? And we were like, we're thinking up the canyon. They're like, you can't do that. And we said, why not? And apparently, that's a very common spot where people abandon the dogs. So a lot of them were left there. So for a lot of them, it's a very triggering place to go.
Oh my goodness gracious. That's terrible.
So we're like, all right, we won't do that then. And they have a lot of rules for your safety and the dog's safety and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
so sounds... like there's harness has to stay on the whole time. There's a leash has to stay on the whole time. Somebody 18 or older has to be holding the leash the whole time. You cannot introduce the dog to other dogs because that could go poorly. There are certain places like the canyon you cannot take the dog. You will be given treats. You are supposed to feed the dog all of the treats throughout the day. There's a bag of treats. If your dog poops, there are bags you've got to clean up after your dog. Do not feed the dog anything else except if you go to Starbucks, you can get them a puppuccino, which I believe is just a cup of unsweetened whipped cream. Or you could give them unflavored shaved ice. Otherwise, nothing. So we got Saba. And she, like I said, 6-year-old brown hound. She's very clearly had puppies at some point because she got some big old droopy nipples on her. And in general, I think she had fun. It was weird. She was pretty anxious at first, but she got better with us, especially with Trish. I did a lot more. I would drive and I would take the pictures and Trish. But I mean, she and I too. In fact, Trish was like, I don't know if she likes petting. Because she doesn't like ask for it or whatever. And I'm like, every dog loves petting. And sure enough, and I've had this with other dogs, like she's running around doing stuff. But if you pet her, she stops and lets you pet her until you stop petting her. And then I'm like, she clearly likes petting. So
right.
She did that a lot. She just wanted to sniff everything.
Yeah.
It was her whole thing all day. Sniff, 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 sniff.
Well, yeah. And I mean,
a harness that says adopt me because. This is great for the dogs. They get out. They get some exercise. Often they can't even get that because there's so many of them at the shelter. But also, it advertises the dog to other people. Say, hey, you want to adopt a dog? And you're encouraged to take pictures and then send the pictures. And they put that on the website. Say, look how fun this dog is. So we did a lot of that. We basically stuck around a couple of towns and just hung out. And she would just sniff everything everywhere. But she didn't eat a whole day. We couldn't get her to eat any treats. We bought her some unshaved shave ice. She didn't eat. It was pretty hot. About halfway through the day, she did finally drink some of her water, but even that for a long time.
Oh.
She was just constantly moving, constantly excited. But we did get to the point where she would be like calm in the car and like lay down and stuff in the car. Although on the way back, she puked in the car, which was not great. But and which was weird because she hadn't eaten anything. But I think she had a fun time. Eventually, we just took her to some places, and then we just took her on a walk around our neighborhood because we'd done that before, and there was lots of grass and stuff for her to sniff, which was her big thing. She just a couple of times she literally hit her head on things because she was so focused on scent that she wasn't using her eyes to see that there was a thing in the way. so she bonked herself a couple times. But yeah, she was fun. But yeah, very tiring. But it was a pretty good trip. We got some swimming in. Trish did leave her phone in a beach bathroom. And then she and I were in the ocean for like an hour. And so I got out first and I changed and I decided to look at my phone and I had 28 missed phone calls. Most of them from my mother-in-law because somebody had picked up the phone and called the mother-in-law and called me and got it worked out. But then eventually they had left the area. They didn't know we were still there, of course. And they had left. And so we had to drive to get to them, but they stayed where they were and they gave us a phone. It was very nice. But yeah, so that was a bit of an adventure. Ate a lot of good food. I ate so many macadamia nuts. I love macadamia nuts. I ate a ton of them, and then I bought a bunch to bring home, and they're almost already gone.
Are they better there? I mean, you can get macadamia nuts here, obviously.
Cheaper. They're much cheaper. Although not nearly as cheap as they used to be, but still much cheaper than if you buy them here. I discovered this bread while I was there.
Mm.
It's called Dave's Killer Bread. And in particular, it was a variety called the Good Seed. And it was just so full of seeds. And it was surprisingly high protein for bread, like 5 grams of protein per slice. It was really good. We ate it all week. So I looked it up. It's fucking everywhere. It's at my Hy-Vee.
I eat Dave's Killer Bread.
It's really good. Like, yeah. I'm thinking of switching. I right now, we still have some bread from before. We normally get the wheat barrow oat nut. We like that really good. And that is not cheap bread, but Dave's is even more expensive bread. And so I'm not positive. I'm going to get some for a little while, and then I think we'll have a talk about if we're going to switch over. Or be a sometimes thing or what, because it is quite expensive, but it's really tasty.
Yeah, we've got some in the fridge right now.
It's good stuff.
It is.
I had a lot of shave ice. I did not manage to get any ice cream because of timing, but I had a lot of shave. Well, I guess I had ice cream in the shave. This is a new thing with shave ice.
What's that?
Or at least in Hawaii. They put ice cream in the bottom.
No.
And then ice on the top. Like, it's weird, but it's tasty. Oh, here's an interesting thing about Hawaii. So, graduation season is coming, you know, high school, college, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They print out posters that I'm going to say are like 2.5, 3 feet wide and like 4 feet long, big posters. That are like a senior picture of the senior in question and their name. And they're just up all over the island. Like when you leave the airport, there's a big long fence because there's something there. And there's a ton of them. But then other places, we went by a gas station and there was one in the gas station. And they're just all over.
Mm.
And I've never encountered this before.
Mm.
And I'm really curious as to the economics of it. Like, do parents pay for the poster? Do they pay for the location? Like, what's involved? But they were just everywhere.
Huh.
And I'm not sure what that's about. But if you are listening and you have, I assume you haven't encountered something like this, or you would have said something. Because at first I was like, is this a small town thing? But you're just like, I don't know what this is.
Well, I mean, like walking down the street in our neighborhood, you see parents have signs in their yard with their kid's picture on them or whatever, but not anywhere else. Yeah, in the mall, sometimes there'll be like a sort of a wall or a stand-up thing with college graduate pictures on it that like are like their parents work at some place and so they've got a space in the mall for that. But other than that, that's the only thing I can think of.
These are just everywhere. And just tons of them. And so if you are somewhere where that's a thing, or if you know why they do it in Hawaii, like, let me know. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, or Comment on YouTube. That's also fun. But I found that very interesting. I didn't remember that from before. We would have gone around the same time before.
Oh, yeah.
But that was 20 years ago.
So. Yeah, maybe they didn't do it 20 years ago.
It was very difficult finding places we'd been before because it's been 20 years. A lot of them are gone. We had a few. Actually, that day when Trish lost her phone, we went to a bunch of beaches because she wanted to find a beach she remembered, but she couldn't remember what it was called. So we tried some few things. Never found it, but found some good beaches. Yeah. I don't have a lot else to say about it. It was a fairly chill trip. We ate a lot of pie. You'd like that, but not like you'd think.
Oh.
There was a pie shop, and they were selling sweet pies, but they were also selling savory pies, including a lot of vegetarian ones. And they had this package deal where you'd get four pot pies and then a baby sweet pie, which was still like it was a good sized pie. So we got a mango lilikoi pie and then four pot pies. And frequently we would like go out to lunch, and then for dinner I would make a pie for us. So there was a mushroom vegetarian one and a coconut curry and beef one and something called African fire pork that was very spicy but very good. And
I love Popeyes. Kind of stuff, so. I love them, but I haven't had, I mean, you know, they do make vegetable Popeyes and I do love them, but I haven't had one in a long time.
I feel like they're becoming a lost thing. I envy the UK for its savory pies.
Mm.
Because there aren't as much here. Usually it's chicken pot pie or nothing. Yep. But I will say, like, KFC makes a really good chicken pot pie. They also make really good fried chicken. So I usually eat that when I eat KFC. But their chicken pot pie is also quite good. we ate a lot of pie. I apparently have established a tradition that made more sense when I was young, but is very weird to be doing when I'm in my late 40s. When we first come to Hawaii, I am very drained from the flight and very stressed out, and I forget how hot and humid it is, and I go to wherever I'm going to stay and realize that it's not air-conditioned, or at least mostly not air-conditioned, and I'm barely holding it together, and then sometime in the night, I see a creepy crawly I was not expecting somewhere, and I lose my shit.
Oh, that happened last time, too. What kind of creepy crawly was it?
This time it was a cockroach. When I was littler, it was just a gecko, and nowadays I don't care. But this was a cockroach in the shower, but like a big one.
Oh, well,
like
sure,
I told Trish, I'm like, there's a big cockroach, and she's like, whatever, all good. And she went, and she's like, oh, that is big. And like, I didn't cry this time, but we did go to bed shortly after, and I just lay in bed being like, is there a way we can get, I don't think we can get a flight back sooner. Could we leave tomorrow? Or maybe we'll just eat the cost of this rental and we'll get a hotel room, like just a touristy one, because it'll be air conditioned. But then I slept, and the next morning, fine.
Oh.
And that's how it goes. So apparently I just have a little freak out first night.
Wait, so...
And didn't want to be there, and then I'm fine.
Are you saying even when you were a kid and visiting Hawaii, that would happen? Or?
Yeah, well, I remember specifically when I was 12. And to be fair, that trip we missed some connections, and so we didn't get in until really late, and we were setting up the futon for me, and then there was a gecko over the bed, and I was just like, I can't even cope. And yeah, so that kind of played out again. Because I would say the flights in general were so much better than they had any right to be for me. They were some of the best flights I've had in ages, especially given the length of time. Still very stressful, still very exhausting. Our drive from the airport to try and find food, we kind of fought at each other and stuff. It was not good. But it's just adjusting. And going in that direction, we adjusted quite quickly to the time change. Coming back, I'm still not sure I'm adjusted.
Because
it's a five-hour difference, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after that first night. And in general, I found I did the housework. I did what cooking was done. I did most of the shopping. I did the dishes and stuff like that. And at one point, Trish was like, you don't have to do, like, there's no reason. It's not your job here. But I think I found that structure made me feel good. There was a little bit of focus, and it made me feel more at home in the place.
Yeah.
And so I think that was good for me.
Good.
It was weird. The owners were right next door. Like, we shared a backyard, sort of. But also, there was no, like, hedge in the way or anything. Hmm. And you really had to have the door things open for airflow and stuff. And also, the actual doors to the back didn't have shades on them anyway. So I'm not saying they did, but the owners could just look in at us at any time. And that felt weird.
Yeah.
But they were good. We met them once real quick. And actually, Trish let their dog into the house when we first got there. He was in the backyard, and she's like, "You want to come in?" And he just came in, and she petted him for a while, and then she was like, "Okay, time to go." And he knew, and he left. He opened the door himself and left. And then later we met the owners, and she's like, "Yeah, he's not allowed in there. He has no manners. He's going to get on the furniture. He can't." So
that's funny.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about some things.
Yeah.
We watched while we were there, because we took our Roku device. And so
you've got a list.
And hoo boy, have you been watching anything?
Well, there's some sci-fi series on that we try to watch, like Dark Matter and
Oh, that's the new version. Okay. There was a sci-fi channel series that ran for two seasons called Dark Matter. And also, there's a Discovery Channel documentary series called Dark Matter. People need to stop calling their shows Dark Matter. But I did see the trailer for the new one.
So. Oh, and Outer Range has a second season.
Oh, yeah, it came back.
They were kind of sort of ramping up to. There seems like there was one other one that I haven't mentioned. But, I mean, none of these are really... like mind-blowing or anything. We're just passing the time with them. There's not much to say as far as I'm concerned.
I want to speak very quickly. We finally watched the two-part documentary about Brooke Shields called Pretty Baby. It's on Hulu. It's really fascinating.
Oh.
First of all, her life is fascinating, and also, like, in my head I sort of missed a chunk of her career, and then I found out no, I didn't. She just kind of had it was weird, but because of her history of being very sexualized at a very early age and all that controversy, and then becoming sort of a sex symbol for the 80s and stuff like that, it's very interesting. I won't say it is an unbiased documentary, and I won't say it's a documentary that set out to find something. Like, it clearly had its plan already, but for the most part, it just talks about what happens historically and then discusses ways that can be complicated and problematic. And it doesn't give judgment on the experience, because there's a lot of great things that Brooke Shields got to experience because of how her career went, and other ones that weren't so great, and other things that aren't so great that have nothing to do with sort of how her career went. They had to do with things involving her family and stuff like that. And so it's unique because it's Brooke Shields, and so it makes it, there's probably a good term for this. It's an unusual circumstance that allows you to use it as a lens to look at more common circumstance,
right? Right.
And I found that very interesting. I would recommend it. Again, it's called Pretty Baby, and it's on Hulu, and it's got two parts to it. They're each a little over an hour. We watched over two nights. It was good. All right, let's talk a little bit about some movies.
Okay.
After much effort, we finally decided to watch The Creator. Did you see The Creator?
Refresh my memory. I mean, maybe. I don't think so, though.
It's a sci-fi starring Denzel Washington Jr. I can't remember his name. It's not even a complicated name. It's like James or some shit. But I can't. Denzel Washington's son. He's in a bunch of stuff lately. A lot of it hasn't been that successful. I think he's a really good actor. And it's in the near future. We make a bunch of fucking AIs to run everything. And we love them. and then an AI nukes LA, and then after that we're at war with the AIs, but Asia still likes the AIs, so now we're at war with Asia.
I've heard of it, and I do want to see it. The he was in a Nolan film, right? That
he was the protagonist in Tenet. He was also the lead in Amsterdam that wasn't Christian Bale or Margot Robbie.
And here's the thing. I didn't really like Tenet, but I liked him. I thought, he's good.
I won't even see Tenet, but yeah, I like him.
He's a lot like his father, and he sounds a little like him and everything else, but I mean, he's really good.
He's his own thing. I didn't realize he was Denzel Washington's son.
He should be in,
the first time I looked
he should be in more stuff for sure, but for some reason, the stuff he's in is not making it.
This apparently was pretty well received.
Oh, was it? Because I thought it didn't. One of the reasons we haven't seen it yet was
I was excited when it was going to come out, and then it came out, and I didn't hear nothing. And I'm like, it's probably not a good sign.
Well, I only heard bad things, actually. So.
But I looked it up afterwards, and it generally got favorable reviews with critics. It was modestly successful at the box office. And I find this interesting. Because when I looked at the critiques, the things I found to be good, they found to be good. The things I found to be bad, they found to be bad. And overall, they liked it. And I thought it was an absolute fucking dumpster fire.
Really?
Trish and I both hated this movie. The good things are the visual effects are quite cool. Some of the stylistic choices are cool. Some of the stylistic choices were dumb. But in general, the look was pretty cool. The acting was quite good. People praised the direction. I'm not sure I would go that far. The editing is a nightmare, but more and more movies just have nightmarish editing, and I'm just sort of having to live with that. The big thing is the script had holes you could drive trucks through. Just tons of them. And just so many things that made no sense. And it's ridiculous in terms of the morality of it. Like our hero, he's coded as a good guy throughout. And for most of the movie, all of his decisions are wholly selfish and coincidentally go along with the people who were calling the good guys. Although there's not a lot about them to make them the good guys, other than the guys we're calling the bad guys are more jerks about it. But it's war. It sucks all around. But we're very clearly supposed to root for certain people and not for other people. The main conflict that sets up the whole war gets tossed out. It gets resolved through a 2-sentence bit out of the middle of nowhere. The mystery of why an AI suddenly nuked LA.
Yeah.
We explain it in a scene as an afterthought in 1 sentence. And the ramifications just don't play out at all. Yeah, it was just a disaster of a script and made no sense and was long. It was a long movie and it felt long. I don't get it. I really thought it was awful. It had some cool visuals. Maybe it had some good action. Maybe I'm too old to appreciate good action scenes. I don't know. I was just constantly none of this makes sense. Why am I rooting for these guys? Some people switched sides in the war based on apparently just that they found themselves behind enemy lines. And then they were like, okay, cool. I'm on your side, but not in a mercenary way. That was just a normal thing to do. They're like, well, I'm here now. I guess I like these people. Or at least we never fucking explained it. Again, our hero, asshole, completely, totally selfish asshole, by coincidence, that helps forward the plot. But he doesn't start actually making good decisions or thinking of others until right near the end. And even then, only a little bit. it was a mess. Yeah, it was an absolute mess. So I didn't love that.
We'll probably see it because robots, but we haven't
yeah,
seen
yeah,
it
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, visually, it's really cool.
I always see the robot stuff.
It strikes me you could be very into it. It has some great actors in it. But yeah, I don't know. Weird, weird. A lot of the robots look like Chappie, which is odd.
Yeah.
But no, there were some really cool visual effects though. And then we also watched, well, okay, let me pause 1 second. We are in the process of watching Ripley on Netflix. Oh, Ripley.
I know you like that actor quite a bit because you talked about that.
I love Andrew Scott.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's very sexy. He's also a very good actor. I love him. I loved him in Sherlock. I loved him in Fleabag. Great guy. I really like, although it has been decades since I've seen it, and this makes me really want to rewatch it when we're done, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, with
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, yeah.
Hoffman. Yeah. Great film. Really riveting. Really good stuff. Some incredible performances. Talented Mr. Ripley is based off of a novel by Patricia Highsmith that was written in like the 50s. That is, in fact, a series of novels involving this character of Tom Ripley. This limited series of 8 episodes appears to be based off of the same specific novel. It is more or less following the plot line of that movie. The first 3 episodes are insanely boring.
Really?
Yes. We have now watched 5 of the episodes. 4 was interesting, and 5 is kind of interesting. Andrew Scott does an amazing job. Every performer does an amazing job. It is filmed in black and white, but in a very modern one where it doesn't look like old film. It's just black and white. And that's a cool effect. And there's some really great shots. It's very, very pretty, and it's very well acted. It's quite tedious and boring. It's clearly very full of itself. Everybody gives everyone significant glances, some of which signify something, some of which absolutely do not. Mr. Ripley is not particularly talented for most of it. Like, I remember him as a very charismatic con man kind of character. In this, he's just really awkward and bad at talking, but he's so determined that his plans sort of eventually work out a little bit. We finally have gotten into some logistical stuff that he's good at, but when it comes to like interacting with people and fooling people, he's bad. Like, even the people he fools are like, this feels weird. Like, this is uncomfortable. Like, I really want to rewatch the movie again. Because maybe I'm misremembering. I don't know.
I thought part of his shtick was being, aw, shucks, kind of fake dumb or whatever.
No, in this, he's like real dumb, at least in my opinion.
Huh, interesting.
Because some of the times when he's being dumb, nobody else is in the room. So I find that very confusing.
Yeah.
And I mean, and there is very much this sort of petulant psychopathy about him, which is a thing from the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's here. But he hides it so poorly with other people. It's, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch the movie, the original movie, and be like, oh no, this is how he was. I just don't get it anymore. I don't know. But for now, first 3 episodes, boring as shit. We were like thinking about bailing, and now we'll stick it out because there's only 8 and we've done 5 of them. But it's amazing acting. Also, there was a character. It is actually the same character that Philip Seymour Hoffman played, is played by someone, and they show up in the first time they show up, and I'm like, I mean, it feels weird because I want to be very trans supportive or whatever, and I don't feel like clocking people, but I'm like, this person is not reading cis male to me. I just, maybe, but I feel unlikely, so I look it up. And this person is not cis male. This person is non-binary. This person is a child of Sting.
Oh.
And is primarily a musician. Their name is Elliot something. Not Elliot Sting. That would be crazy. Gardner, maybe? I don't know. And they primarily are musicians. And again, this is sort of another point. If I had to guess, I would say they were born with traditionally female assigned bits.
Okay.
That's at a guess. They're very androgynous. But the point is, in this show, they're playing a dude, and it's just a, it's not like a surprise that they're actually trans or anything like that, or non-binary. They're just playing. So it's that thing again, is when Marley Matlin got cast in a role that wasn't about her being deaf. Like, a person who is not cisgendered got cast in a cisgendered role, just full stop. And I'm so happy about that. They also do an amazing job, for the record.
Is the last name Sumner? Isn't?
Could be.
Sting's last name good. Sumner?
Elliot. It's Elliot with one T. Yeah, Sumner. That sounds familiar. So it might be. But they do a really good job. But I just love somebody in sort of a marginalized queer demographic being cast in a role where that's not the point. Now, to be fair, we also don't acknowledge that because they're playing a male role. But the fact that they would cast that way, and they do a perfectly good job. They seem dude enough. So I thought that was very cool.
Like, when you say they're cast, so, like, using pronouns like he and him and stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so they're not treated like a non-binary person. No. Okay.
No, they are treated like Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's the same character.
Interesting.
Freddie, I believe, is the character's name.
Okay.
And that was the thing. It had been a while. I'm like, is this a new bit or whatever? And I look, no, this is just that same character. And yeah, and they say he, him, and all that stuff. So that was neat. Dakota Fanning's also in it. She's doing well. Her part hasn't been that big, so I don't know. A lot of things that are happening, I remember from the movie, but I didn't remember them in the order or the way they're being done, so I don't know. But yeah, I can't recommend that. Anyway, let's talk about a movie, an older movie, that I've wanted to see for years, but I was just like, I don't know. It seems strange.
I love that you guys watch older movies. I love that.
Well, this isn't that old.
Oh.
Like a few years. I think it was the 2010s somewhere. But we do watch a lot of older ones. But no, this is a modern film, but it's been a few years.
Okay.
And it was very well received. And I knew I wanted to see it. But it was so inscrutable as to what really it was, that it was very hard to gauge, is this the kind of movie I want to watch right now?
Mm.
And so I didn't for years and years and years and years and years. And then finally we did watch Swiss Army Man.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it.
Do you want to see it?
I mean, not particularly interested in it, I guess. Should I see it?
I think I recommend it, but here's the problem. It is impossible to describe. I can tell you the premise, as has been put out for other things. Paul Dano is shipwrecked, alone, very sad. And a dead Daniel Radcliffe washes up on shore.
Right.
And then it's a comedy. I should say it's definitely a comedy. The corpse, played by Daniel Radcliffe, proves to be, in a very fanciful way, extremely helpful at survival. The I think classic one is Paul Dano, the corpse keeps farting and Paul Dano ends up using that as sort of a motor and rides the corpse to a different island. And weird things like that.
Right.
So, yeah. And it is so much more than this. And I obviously I don't want to spoil it, but also it wouldn't make any more sense if I did explain it. And Trish and I have spent a lot of time afterwards with like what we were supposed to take away from it.
Oh.
And we don't agree, and neither of us really know. I'm not sure Trish liked it as well. It is just, I mean, it's possible people won't like it. It is such a wholly unique experience. I do not think anybody could predict if they would like it or not, even if they got all the deep. It's just very strange. And it's very much like what we've spoken the most about is what was real and what wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually first put forth a theory that the main character dies in the first like 5 minutes and the rest of it is like their brain hallucinating at the end. And that is definitely a version that works. Mm. I don't think that is the intended version, but definitely not all of it happens.
Mm.
And there are places where you're like, oh, this is reality because it's very blunt. But then you're like, maybe this isn't reality. Like, it's, and it's Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. And they're basically the only characters for almost all of the movie.
Oh, wow.
And they are phenomenal. But it's unbelievably experimental. Like, it's so strange. And it's so a context more than a movie. You're just like there in it. And I think it absolutely defies things like good or bad. I did not find it boring. I would say I found it entertaining. I did laugh a fair number of times. And I've found it very thought-provoking since. It's weird. It's such a strange movie. So it's called Swiss Army Man. If you like those actors and you like experimental sort of arty stuff, I mean, it definitely has. I don't also, it's not some Terrence Malick unrelated scenes strewn together. Like, there's a definite plot and there's a story arc. I could tell you like this and then this and then this in the end. I could definitely explain that. I don't want to spoil. And again, I don't think it would even give you an inkling of what the fuck this movie is. I think it's worth seeing. It's not very long either. I think it's worth seeing just for the novelty, if nothing else. for the performances in particular. It was right at that time where Daniel Radcliffe was looking for shit like this. It was right near the end of Daniel Radcliffe's showing the world he's not Harry Potter sort of era.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is very different from Harry Potter. And of course, Paul Dano's been in that space for ages.
Right.
Paul Dano's like, you got a part for me? Is it weird as shit? All right, I'm in. Like, I think the last halfway normal thing he did was play the mute son in Little Miss Sunshine. Like, Paul Dano does weird shit. And this is definitely in there, but they're both phenomenal actors too. It's weird. It's a weird movie. But I'm glad I saw it. And I think I recommend it.
Okay.
You just gotta be prepared for how weird that is. Yeah, that's probably enough stuff off of here. All right. Well, I'm not going to Hawaii this week, so you're going to have to come up with some shit to talk about next week.
I'll probably have some things to talk about.
When are you graduating?
So by the time people see this, it'll be 3 weeks from tomorrow.
3 weeks from Friday.
Yep.
All right.
3 weeks, And I'm starting to feel kind of optimistic about it. I mean, the thing is, when I first started this 3 years ago, 3 years and 3 weeks ago, I was really worried about getting through it, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And not without some justification. I mean, a lot of things have happened since then to me and to people I know. I mean, some people who started
I
with me
mean,
didn't.
I went to Hawaii.
Some people who started with me didn't finish. I mean, and that could easily have happened to me too. And for some of the reasons of that have happened to me, surgery and Abby getting cancer and all this other stuff. And when practicum and internship started, there were lots of times where it didn't look like I was going to finish on time. Like, so I wasn't the worries I had at the beginning and throughout have not been unjustified. Maybe
Well, some
overblown
of the
sometimes.
worries haven't been unjustified.
Some maybe overblown sometimes. I'll put it that way. I'll concede that. But there wasn't a guarantee that I was going to
But
make
you
it.
are at the point now where you'd probably have to like work at screwing it up.
That's right. Finally,
Like
when
you
there's
have to
only
just be
what?
like, patience, I'm done with that. Not coming in anymore.
Finally, when there's only 4 weeks left, I'm like, yeah, I think I can do this. But part of that is because some things that were complications even 2 months ago aren't now. So, and the exam is done and passed and all that. So it's like there's a lot of reason to have optimism now that I might not have had a month ago. But it does feel good to have a level of optimism that I've struggled to have. And again, I will concede that some of my worries were overblown. But it the way I like to describe it is, I have been walking through a minefield for the last 3 years. That's true. That's absolutely true. Some of the doubts I had in my ability to successfully negotiate it were overblown. Everyone was more confident that I'd pass that test than I was,
Yeah,
including the ladies
I
who
think
just
that's
met
the
me at the
key.
facility.
I think people who don't know you, I think other people in a similar situation might have failed. And so people who don't know you, like apparently you, could see how you might fail.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I'm walking through a minefield, and we're like, yes, but a lot of people do it without knowing it's a minefield. And I happen to know you also spent all the night before staring at the map of the minefield.
Right. And I have a
So I'm
metal
like,
detector and
did you
everything.
fuck it
So what
up? Yes. Are you going to? Definitely not.
if... Right, that's what I mean. Yes,
Yeah.
you're exactly
And
right.
that's the thing.
And
None of us were questioning that you couldn't ruin it.
yeah.
You definitely could have. All of us knew you wouldn't. The way you are, you would not have allowed yourself.
Well, and so I'm finally, like I said, a month left, and I'm finally kind of where the rest of you are. It's like, yeah, there's still things that could go wrong in a month,
No,
but it's just
see,
not likely
now
to
I'm
happen.
not convinced anymore. I don't think you're gonna make it. I see the look in your eye, and you have the tank is empty. You can't, you're not. This is where you choke at the finish line. You're gonna get the therapist yips, and it's just not. You're gonna walk into your next session, and they're gonna say things, and you're gonna be like, "What makes you think I have the answers?" And you're gonna storm out.
Nah, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm surprised though. I thought that I would have to get clear to the end, but no, about 4 weeks left, and I'm like, nah, I feel pretty good about this. I think I'm gonna be
You just
okay.
got to keep doing what you're doing now. I mean, you don't got no more tests. You don't got no more whatevers.
And I'm kind of done with homework. Most of the
you basically have to do the job,
right?
So that then you can continue to do the job,
which I have been doing, and getting positive feedback from my clients and everything. So it's like there's really not anything for me to worry about here. So I think I can.
But I think you're gonna snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You're gonna start flipping them off, using a lot of swears. Stop wearing pants.
Well, it has been harder these past few.
You want to see a dead body?
It has been harder these last few weeks for, I'm sure, obvious reasons. But I mean,
yeah. Well, but I originally was going to consult with your wife and do some sneaky, underhanded shit to get you your graduation present. But now that I know a little bit more about what's going on with you and what's going on with me, I think I'm just going to give it to you on the podcast again. So,
oh, okay.
You'll have to see when that happens.
Well, you didn't have to do anything, but
I know. But I came up with this is the thing. I don't. In general, I try and minimize my dealings with duty or reciprocation based gifts. I do not like that. I think gifts should be spontaneous things you want to give. Now, admittedly, to commemorate things is a great time, but it shouldn't be like, oh, I have to get them something. And with you, I know I can absolutely never give you anything and it's fine.
Yeah.
So I only do it when I want to do it. And this one I came up with like a year ago, the perfect gift.
Oh.
And so that's nice. What I'm doing.
That's nice. So, I mean, to be honest, it is a big deal. I mean, this is like, I was thinking about this eventually. So this is a temporary license because in Iowa, you have a sort of a provisional license before you have a full license. So eventually I'll have a full license and maybe I'll get a PhD and everything. But I mean, whenever I go from a temporary license to a full license, my day-to-day work is going to be the same. Whenever I get a PhD, my day-to-day work is going to be the same. I could even teach college. I could teach undergraduates after I get this master's degree. So this is really the watershed, right? Like anything I do after this is just sort of frosting on the cake. This is the cake, and it's kind of a big deal. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, when I first started doing it was like, well,
it's going to be a real shame when you stumble at the finish line.
When I first started, it was just like, oh, I got to get this master's degree to get this job. But now it's like, oh, wow. Like things I wanted to achieve when I was an undergraduate, I'm achieving now. When I'd written off ever going to graduate school. I'd written off ever, you know, having a
science-based profession or anything. PhD.
You don't want me to?
I already never get to see you. And if you keep doing this and studying for a PhD, I'm not even sure your wife will ever get to
see. Now, the PhD will be different, though, because, like, I could take one class, even every other quarter. Like, I'm not in a hurry. This I had to get, like, right now to get this job. The PhD
can
take 10
years. Is there any aspect of getting a PhD that will decrease your overall workload? I'm saying I'm already unhappy with where things are now.
I know, but listen. A lot of it I'm going to be doing anyway, like reading books and writing papers. I mean, I might as well do it under the auspices of a program that's going to give me a PhD at the end of it, because I promise I'll still be doing that stuff. But I do want it
to be... There will be some stuff.
I do want it paced in a more reasonable manner than this has been.
We'll see.
Okay.
All right. I'm sick of your face. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
We should be back on a normal schedule now, people. So you'll be seeing this 3 days after we do it. Please email us. We're going to run out of stuff. I'm not going to Hawaii this week. He doesn't do nothing. We need stuff to talk about. So themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I know some of you are out there. When I post the video on YouTube, it gets 3, 4, sometimes 5 views. And then spontaneously, sometimes like 43 views. I don't know how that works. But anyway, so yeah, write us themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also comment on the things Any of you been to Kauai? Am I misrepresenting things? Did I make you miss things? Did I make you realize things are different from when you were there? Go to the blog, magicthawinghat.com, or comment on YouTube, also good. I check all those things. William doesn't because he hates you, but I love you all very much. So do it for me. And I had a good closer line, but I forgot what it is. So, aloha.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.